Well, this evening, let's open to Matthew 24. And I remember so clearly August of 08, starting out. I mean, it was such an exciting time. We were just on the verge, if you remember, that huge financial meltdown that came in October and all that. And there were just things going on all over the world. Well, tonight, it's kind of fun to look at what has happened since. Basically, let's see, I'm going to have to watch since obviously that screen's not synced with it. I will have to turn around here. But basically, what's next for planet Earth? What's a current assessment? Now remember, Matthew 24 is Jesus showing what the world looks like as he is coming in the clouds with all of his angels with him, which he does in chapter 25 and verse 31, and all the holy angels with him, and he's descending down. And Matthew 24 is the most complete prophetic overview that Jesus gave. And so basically, when Jesus came, what we see by looking at the drone view are a lot of things that are going on the earth that were not going on in the first century, or the second century, or the third century, or the fourth century. And though all times the church is supposed to be ready at any moment for his coming, these trends, we can call them, weren't evident. Now, what we see in Matthew 24 is, in fact, there's two verses I want you to see. Look at verse 8 of chapter 24. It says, all these, and it's a listing of the six events, you know, the wars and the famines and the persecution and all of those things, those six things. All of these are the beginning of sorrows in verse 8. Sorrows, literally birth pangs. If you know anything about birth pangs, the one thing about birth pangs are normally they start far apart and lighter and get heavier and closer and heavier and closer until it's paroxysmic. You know, it's birth pangs. And that's what the Lord says. He says, you're always going to have all these things. Verse 6, wars and rumors of wars and nation, you know, national conflicts. Actually, verse 7 says, ethne against ethne. Ethnic group fighting ethnic group. And it's interesting, the unraveling of all, so many nations are kind of patchwork quilts of all these different ethnic groups. And the closer we get to the end, the more the quilt unravels. And kingdom against kingdom, it's almost like there's this, you know, balance in the world, but the kingdoms all come loose. And then the famines, so we always have had famines, but they get just stronger and stronger and stronger and more deadly, and pestilences we'll talk about, and on and on. So that's what it says, but keep going down to verse 33. So this is what Jesus says. So you also, when you see all these things, oh, now he says they're trends. He says, look for these things. And when you see them, look what it says. You know that it is near at the door. That's very interesting. Verse 34, assuredly, I say to you, this generation, what generation? The generation that sees all these things, interesting, will not or will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So basically what Jesus gives us is specific details. Now, what is the sign, the ultimate sign? Well, it tells, if you've ever wanted to know the sign, Jesus is the sign. Look at, it says in verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. The only sign everyone sees is the sign of the Son of Man. He is the sign. But the trends, you're going to see them, Jesus said, lining up. And when you see them lining up, when what I'm describing is finally possible, the generation that sees that will by no means miss it. It's near, it's at the door. And that generation, verse 34, will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So the list of the biblical trends of Christ's return are not actually full-blown till the tribulation time. But you'll see them. You'll see them coalescing. And each of these signs are trends. And the trends are speeding up. at the last seconds of the countdown clock of Christ's return, each day the prophetic picture that Jesus painted gets clearer. Now, you know, biblical prophecy is much clearer looking back than it is looking forward. It's very hard to discern without, you know, kind of doing what a lot of people do, you know, like the 88 signs Jesus is coming in 1988. I have a copy of that in my library. And then there is the sequel, the 89 signs he's coming in 1989. And I still have Jack Van Impe's record of the 76 reasons he was coming in 1976, you know, and all that stuff. That's what we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to look ahead and do what that fella out in California did. Go sell your house and give the money to me. That always troubled me. Was he staying behind? What was he getting the money for, his ministry? But you know what I mean. But we don't look ahead and make every sign, you know, one of the toes of the beast. But when we look back, it's so clear. But when we look forward and see the specifics that Jesus said would be coming, starting to appear, it's staggering. Each of these signs were captured by the apostles and prophets between 2,000 and 3,500 years ago, and now they're happening in our lifetime. In fact, you can say that every single one of these is in some form on the horizon. None of the things that you can see when Christ returns aren't fully visible. But all of these yet-to-be-completed prophecies fit within the seven events. Remember, there are, and I'm not going to go through, we spent a long time in 08 on it, all the thousands of prophetic verses, all in 215 different events, and all of those fit into what we call the big seven, the rapture and the tribulation of Christ in his second coming and on through each of those events. But we're talking about what prompts his second coming. Well, I want to just give you a handful of the precise, clear, specific trends that Christ gave and just remind you of what they are. And the first one is Jesus said in Matthew 24 that when you see these things, when you start seeing them, then you'll know it's near and that generation will see it. So what signs do we see? Number one, Daniel tells us that the end is marked. And go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel says some very sobering words. Jesus cites him in Matthew 24. That's why we're using him. He says, as Daniel the prophet said, and so what did Daniel the prophet say? Verse 1, at that time Michael, this is the last chapter of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1, at that time, and what time is it? It's when the Antichrist is coming into the glorious land. That's chapter 11, verse 41 of Daniel. The glorious land is God's way of talking about the Holy Land, about Israel, the land, the apple of his eye, he calls the people of that land. But at that time, when, you know, Israel is in the crosshairs of the Antichrist, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Daniel was a Jew. Michael stands watch over the people. And Michael is still standing watch over him at the end. See, this, look what it says here. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. This is an end times event. And there's still a nation of Israel. And there's still a Michael standing guard over him at the direct command of God. And so for those that think Israel is finished, God isn't aware of it, nor is his word. Only their traditions are, because they can't figure it out, because many people are still marked by the anti-Semitism of the reformers, and they were. Martin Luther was terribly anti-Semitic, sadly, but all of us have problems. And if God should mark iniquity, none of us would stand, and their problems were far fewer than ours. But it is a sad one that's perpetuated through the denominations. But keep reading to what Daniel says in verse 4. He goes through the resurrection and verse 3, the rewards. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And every time I get an email from the evangelists in our church, and if you want to get inspired to share the gospel, you ought to get on one of these lists. And if you want to get on one of the lists, you just have to ask our evangelism director, and he'll tell you how to get on them. But it is exciting to read how they lead people to Christ. And every time I read those lists, of who they meet all over town and share the gospel with, whether it's intentionally just tracking people down or just in the way of life bumping into people, those, look at verse 3, who turn many to righteousness, in other words, soul winners, will shine like the stars forever and ever. Not everybody. Those who turn many to righteousness. You see, our life on earth does make a difference. We don't all get a trophy in heaven in the way that all soccer teams and, you know, everything nowadays in our American athletics turn to, that everybody gets a reward. In heaven, there are specific rewards for obedience. And 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15 says, some will be saved, yet so as through fire. That means they're saved. And they do not get the rewards that God has promised. And so we have to be cautious about how we invest our life, because it matters. And if you want to be wise, you can shine like the brightness of the firmament. And wise is that you're allowing the sanctifying work of God, that you follow the Word of God, and that you want to obey the Word of God, and you allow Him to shape your life, and God rewards that. That's 1 Corinthians 9:27. But those who turn many to righteousness, that's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The Apostle Paul said, what is my hope or joy or the crown of my rejoicing? It's you that I have led to Christ. And Paul was so aware in the prison, he was taking people with him to heaven because he had invested his life turning many to righteousness. Did you hear in the baptism tonight? I'm so thankful for my Sunday school teachers, for my vacation Bible school teachers, and on it went. All those who are sowing the seed and watering the seed in God gives the increase. We are a part of turning many to righteousness. But now look at the trend, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Okay, now what is it? How do we know it's the time of the end? Two things. Many shall run to and fro. This is global travel. Look at this. Did you know that 3.8 billion people will fly on an airplane this year? Did you know a billion of them will be in America? Doesn't mean there are only 300 and some million Americans. Some of us fly way more than others. But there are 3.8 billion human beings that are running to and fro. Do you understand? This is unbelievable. The same way of travel that was in the Bible times persisted all. Did you know we had no advances in travel from biblical times all the way through the time of Ben Franklin in the American Revolution? Did you know when he solicited the help of France, he went on a sailboat across the ocean, a sailboat. That's how Jesus went around the Sea of Galilee. That's how the Phoenicians took Jonah. Stuff hasn't changed since Bible times. But immediately after that, after the turn of the 1800s, we had the invention of the steam engine and the steamboat and the steam locomotive, and that went right from that into the internal combustion. And then we had all of that, the automotive, and then the Wright brothers took that internal combustion, they made the airplane. And then Goddard made the, you know, and we all know all that, the rocket. And now we're just traveling. As it says in Daniel, you'll know it's the end times, the times of the end, because many, just 3.8 billion, and I'm only talking about air travel, everybody travels. I mean, Bonnie and I got caught in Beijing when it's the largest movement of humans on the planet. Almost all 1.2 billion of them go somewhere around China or outside the country on the Chinese New Year. So that sign is amazing, and it's getting more every year. But it isn't just that. Look at the next, the other half. It's actually 4B. It says the global explosion of knowledge. Knowledge would increase, it says. It says, and knowledge shall increase. What's interesting is it's just happening around us. We're not thinking anything about it. We have gone from kilobytes to megabytes to gigabytes to terabytes to petabytes to exabytes. You probably don't even know about those, and zettabytes, and soon we'll be at yottabytes. And they just have to have new names for all these things. And what they're talking about is what they're doing. Did you know that in the last year they calculated this, and they're always behind because knowledge is exploding. But basically, 4 years ago, we produced, according to the University of Southern California, if you can believe them, My son's going there, and it sounds pretty believable, but in the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, they said this: in the year 2013, the world produced 4 zettabytes. I had to look that up and count. That's 21 zeros is a zettabyte, okay? Wow. 4 zettabytes of information in 2013. That's a 1 with 21 zeros, or, now to put it in terms young people can understand, 304 million years, not hours, of 4K high-def video. 304 million years. That's 24 hours a day, 365, you know? That's, I mean, it would be like having an HD movie of the world, you know, in high def for 304 million years of it. Or the equivalent, UCLA said, of every human on Earth getting the information of 348 newspapers every day dumped onto them. So, I mean, you know, to get a stack higher than me by a couple times of newspapers dropped on you every day is how much information we're producing. I mean, you know, it's everything. It's the National Oceanography and Atmospheric Administration that's measuring everything, and it's NASA that's keeping track of all that, and then it's all this, you know, snapping and YouTubing and everything. But that was in 2013. Do you remember how slow your phone was in 2013? How awful your television set was? I was watching the BBC World thing or Planet Earth or whatever, and you could almost see the grains of sand. And I said to the kids, did we get a new television? They said, no, that's the Apple TV has far higher resolution on that old TV of ours. And I said, wow. And our world is zettabyting. This month we saw the introduction of a whole new generation of computer chips. Each generation is basically doubling, you know, that's the old rule. But the new chip is the AMD Ryzen Zen. They're called the Zen, like Zen Buddhism, family of chips. And the Ryzen chip is unbelievable. It's 14 nanometer architecture. Just in common talk, that means the chip, it's the size of a quarter. That means it's an inch by an inch. In that inch, there are 1 billion lines of information this way and 1 billion lines of information that way. That's an octillion on a quarter. That's the thickness of several, you know, thick sheets of paper. And I mean, they're just cranking these things out. And it's not even the good one. It's just the one that's going to be commercially used. And what's amazing is that Daniel said in Daniel 12:4 that knowledge shall increase. And since 2008, it's doubling. And it's doubling. And it's doubling. It's amazing. Specifically, it was referring to an understanding of Bible prophecy, but it's an increase in scientific knowledge that's implied. And what's amazing is that we are living in the time where we don't even think about it. You know, let's go to exabytes and yottabytes. You know, it doesn't matter. What else is going on? Well, it says in Luke 21, you should turn there because it's fascinating to think about, especially if you watch the cable news. It says what's going to happen is while people are watching the news, and it's in chapter 21, and verse 25, something is going to start happening. There will be signs in the sun. Aren't we seeing that? I mean, I don't know if you pay attention, but I was standing in a gas station in Tulsa the first time a solar storm affected the earth in a commercial way. I was standing at a Get and Go, and that's just, you know, they have quick trips and get and goes, 2 gas station chains, and I was standing in one, and all of a sudden, the ATM machine in the gas station started going, voot, voot, started putting out receipts. Not money, receipts. It was not trained well. It should have been given out 20s. But it was just giving out receipts. And the clerk and all of us went, huh, voot, voot. Found out later that a solar plasma jet had come across and had done something to one of the satellites that feeds the dish on the roof of the gas station, and it confused the ATM machine. It wasn't anything big, but it was interesting that something from the sun affected us in the gas station. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. What's causing this distress and perplexity? The sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which were coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So it's solar and atmospheric and even oceanic wildness that's going to affect people. They're going to be watching the television of either the latest solar flare or the latest tsunami or earthquake or whatever, and it's all of a sudden, it's not a movie, you know, where The Rock, whatever his name is, you know, comes in with a helicopter and saves his wife and Los Angeles crumbles. All of a sudden, it's really happening. And it says that people, I love the word. It's a Greek word that's so descriptive. It says, verse 26, men's hearts, and you know what the next word is? Apsuko, suke, as in psyche. It speaks of the non-material part of us, and apo means from. And what it means is their spirits leave them. They die of fright. They just collapse in and have a massive heart attack or stroke on the spot and die from fear. It's going to be amazing to be alive when there are global weather times going wild. And it says in Matthew 24:8, that's just the beginning. And the Greek word sorrows, the beginning of sorrows in Matthew, literally means birth pangs. And it's all the creation is under the curse of sin, so all of it is starting to have contractions. And Romans 8:21 says that because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And so what's happening is the whole universe is starting to feel this transition that it's going through. It's groaning because of sin. And God says, I'm going to deliver you. And there's just all these convulsions going on. And while that's going on, and by the way, this is just the NOAA's list of all the disasters of 2016. You can go to their site. These are all the ones that cost more than $1 billion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And you remember all of them, from the wildfires to the drought that now is making the dams pop, you know, in California. But it's just amazing. And we're not even in the bad times. This is not bad times yet. This is just normal times. We just are watching it because of the sign of global telecommunications and television. You remember this if you were here 9 years ago. It says in Revelation 11 that when God does what he's doing, it's at a time period when in verse 9, it says everybody's going to see it. And those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will see their dead bodies in 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies. Then those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. This 3.5 day period is a global event. Now, I didn't realize how global we were until, I mean, I knew it, but I didn't realize it until this past summer in June. I was doing something I've always wanted to do my whole life. I said it over and over again. I've always said I would live in Israel if I could afford it. And I got the opportunity to go for 2 weeks and film all my favorite spots with a film crew, with 3 cameras running. And while they were setting up and everything, I took out my phone, and I looked at Facebook, and I saw that live button. So I hit it, and I couldn't believe it. As I talked and went like this in Herod's palace, I was standing out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea on the foundations of Herod's palace. I joined, and look, I just printed off for you. This was at 4:30, because I had to go to the baptism meeting. I didn't have time after that. There was someone in Pakistan. There was someone right there in Saudi Arabia, down here in whatever that is. Lots of people in Egypt, and lots of people, you know, and look, all around Aleppo and wherever all those other things are going on. Look across. These are all the people on Facebook Live that are streaming, some of them, their suicides. You know, that's the new hit. Tragically, people are streaming their suicide on Facebook Live. Now, most of these, I don't think so, because their light stayed on, so they are with us. But you know what? The whole world is able to broadcast whatever they want, and anybody that has any digital device that isn't behind some, you know, you notice there are none here. China doesn't allow it, India doesn't allow it. But what's amazing is, look back at what it says in Revelation, it says, and the whole world will see that. And it's amazing. The Bible predicts that the entire world will see certain events unfold. The invention of the television and the deployment of global satellite networks during the 20th century allow news to travel the world at the speed of light for the first time. Remember, in the Apostle John's day, news traveled at the speed of horse. There was a period of time when the army was still fighting and their emperor had died and a new emperor was in and the war was over, but for months they kept fighting. Because the horse had to ride, and then the boat, and then the courier, and it got waylaid, and it never made it, and they kept fighting. And now people on Twitter know things before the news networks know them. Because the world is connected. It's never been before the 20th century. And then global evangelism. I mean, look at this. This is the IMB, one of the groups that Bonnie and I serve alongside of. They have already identified, that's the Southern Baptist Mission Board, IMB. They've already identified, and this map is the UUPG map, unreached and unengaged people groups. They know every group that doesn't have the scripture, every group that doesn't have a local church, every group that doesn't have someone that is a Christian that can speak that language, and they've already mapped it. And this map is part of the call to so many young people that Bonnie and I meet that are in their 20s and 30s, and they have said, I'm taking that dot. I'm going to spend the rest of my life living right there. I just got a note from one. They were showing me pictures. I mean, a couple that Bonnie and I poured hours into, and they showed us the water coming on the donkey, and they showed us the goats being hacked off the cart when the meat truck comes. They have goats, thankfully dead, whack, they'll cut off a leg and take it to you. And that's how they get their meat. And they have to instantly wash it, scrape all the bugs and rocks off of it, and can it because they don't have refrigeration. Amazing. But the world is now laid out where the gospel is available and where it's not. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24:14? He said that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. This gospel must first be preached to all the nation. Today, portions of the entire Bible have been translated into 2,300 languages and dialects, covering 90% of all the world's population. Never before. The sign of global evangelism. And then pestilence. I mean, we could go on and on about this. We've heard and thought about it. Despite an increase in scientific knowledge, deadly disease, which the Bible calls pestilence, will be prevalent. Verse 7 of Matthew 24 says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And what we have is famines and pestilences. And here's one. This is from January. This is the superbug. This is a CRE. That's capo, whatever that drug family is, resistant entero something. In other words, it's a superbug that even our highest tier antibiotics cannot touch. You heard about the guy at Grand Rapids that got, he didn't even get that. He got just strep in his abdomen, and they had to amputate his limbs in Grand Rapids because they couldn't stop it. There is all the ones we've heard of, you know, the MRSA and VRSA, you know, vancomycin resistant and everything else, and all those levels, but God says there's going to be superbugs. There are going to be global pestilences. And then he said there's going to be this global tracking and positioning with digital money. We don't even think anything of it. Look, these are our friends. Look, this is our friend. Everyone has one in their pocket, or most everyone. Did you know these only work if they can instantly go to your account from the gas station and see whether or not you're legit and any suspicious holds are on you? Then it comes all the way back to the gas station and approves it, and then you put it in the gas, and then it goes all the way back to that bunker under Omaha where all this is kept, the clearinghouse, and they knew exactly the geographic spot you used that card. And then how about, you know, Venmo and PayPal and Square Cash, and I could fill the board with them. I mean, these are really neat. We in June, we went and rented a place in Caesarea from people we'd never met that lived in Brazil that owned a house in Israel, and I sent money through San Francisco. And it was reserved. And that money went all over the world, and it left a little fingerprint of everywhere it went. And with my phone, which always knows where I am, within about 40 feet, it's going to be possible, what it says in Revelation, through digital money, global tracking and positioning, through Apple Pay and ePay and PayPal and Venmo and on, instant access to our money is making one person able to control the world. Because once you get what India is doing, India has banned certain cash transactions and has recalled the money. They did it in the last year. In the largest or second largest population of the world, they got all the people to get the money out of their mattress real quick. They said, after this date, none of your 200 rupee bills are worth anything, so you better bring them in. And the people did, by the millions. You see, we can control people financially. And then, I mean, these are the old ones, the sign of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, look at this. This is a headline I clipped. The doomsday clock's most dire warning since the Cold War. This is the closest to midnight the doomsday clock has ever been in the lifetime of almost everyone on this in this room, and that was stated January 26, 2017. Now, that was a negative response to our current president, but it's a reminder that both the United States and Russia have enough to kill everybody over and over again, and the horrible weapons of mass destruction are proliferating, and we don't even need to talk about that. We know that. And then global religion and the return of the wandering Jews to the promised land, that is the hard-to-miss event that the focal point of the United Nations and most news services have become the Middle East. And if it's not Islamic something, it's Israeli something, and this is what the world wants. They want us to coexist. And they want the Islamics to get along with the Jews, and they want us all to, you know, kind of be very smoothly oriental, you know, with Hinduism and Buddhism and all the Eastern religions, and they want the cross to fit in there, along with the drug culture and the peace and everything else and Satanism, and we want to get along. And there is coming a global religion where there's going to be a proponent of getting along. And he's going to promise peace and safety, and everybody's going to listen to him. And what Jesus did not accomplish, he couldn't get everybody to worship him, the Antichrist will get. Everyone except those that are sealed by God. And all the rest of the world will worship the other Christ, not the real one. Sadly, one of the worst events of all time. And then there's this global desire for peace and prosperity and materialism. Jesus said that the world is going to be just like in the days of Noah, and it will be. What's the answer? You can't read that, but I'll read it to you. God says there's seven events coming in the future. The next one is when he comes for his church. And the only thing Jesus told us is to be ready. And Paul repeated it. He said, live every day ready, as if it was your last. How long is it since we've thought about that? That's what we're thinking about all day long. We're supposed to be saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let me not be ashamed before you at your coming, the Apostle John said. And then comes the judgment seat of Christ. Be holy. Christ will test our lives. Some that turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. And some who don't will be saved, yet so as through fire. The tribulation, be thankful. Christ will keep us from that hour. The second coming, be patient. Christ is going to right all wrongs, even every ethnic wrong, every environmental wrong, every wrong in this world, all the secret sins and all the wicked things that have gone on. He said, I'm going to right them all. Don't worry. Be patient. Be focused. Christ is going to perfect the earth. Yeah, I've seen so many Christians who are trying to save the earth. Don't worry. Jesus is going to. Okay? He's going to fix it all back. And nothing's going to be polluted, nothing's going to be poisonous, and nothing's going to be bad. And the rivers are going to be life-giving, and the death and destruction is going to roll back, as well as warfare and everything else. Be patient. Don't focus your life on something Christ says, I'm in charge of that. You don't need to waste your time on that. The Great White Throne, be faithful, point people to Christ. When they get to the Great White Throne, the next step is the lake of fire. And heaven, be investing. Lay up treasure in heaven. Do you know what it says? We're going to get to be invited to people's homes, the ones that through our investment we brought to Christ. I thought about that when the plates were going around for the third time today. Do you realize that three times on Sunday, the hands of Christ go by you and you can place into his hands an offering? You just thought it was the ushers. They're just filling in for Christ. And I don't give money to the ushers or to the church treasurer. I give my resources into the hands of Jesus Christ. And he says, whatever happens with that money, in heaven, you will be welcomed into everlasting habitations. We will actually get to see the people whose lives are transformed through the gospel because we invested our life distilled into our money for their evangelization. That's what heaven's all about. It's going to be great. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and as we bow, I'll invite the elders and deacons to prepare to serve us communion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that the bottom line of prophecy is that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Either right here and now, as we share the gospel patiently and in the power of your Spirit and watch you draw up all ones that you are calling to yourself, or then, when those who refuse you all their life, who miss heaven by 18 inches, even so many in churches across this land, they will finally bow their knee, but it's too late. But Lord, we are trusting you. We know you. You called us. You chose us. You pursued us. You drew us to yourself. And now you let us celebrate that at communion. I pray that right now we'll make sure we have clean hands. You've told us don't touch this picture of your body with dirty hands. I pray that we would confess and forsake right this instant any sin that we're aware of in our life. May no sin be unconfessed and unforsaken when we touch that bread plate going by. We thank you for your body given for us. And I pray that tonight as we hold it and remember what you did in our place, that you will receive precious, beautiful, glorious worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.